Oh, we still. Is my clock off?
No, you're late.
Well, my clock says I have 4 minutes. Well, cool. Longer service today because my clock. All right. Well, good morning. Maybe it's morning. Maybe I'm just going to hang out up here. Awesome. Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. I'm betting that you cannot guess what's happening this week. And no one said a word. So it's Vacation Bible School week, and we're getting things ready. We're getting fired up. It's just the anticipation is great. And there are those that would say that this week is going to be monumental. And we'll be talking in Vacation Bible School, and it's kind of a desert theme, and we are fired up and excited. If you haven't signed up to help out with Vacation Bible School, that's okay. You can do that this afternoon, and we can still make that work. If you have signed up for Vacation Bible School, woo-hoo! Are we going to have fun? And so it's going to be a fantastic week, and we're really excited, and I'm going to take off my sunglasses because I can't read my notes. But just keep in mind a couple of extra things happening this week besides Vacation Bible School. In the evenings from 6 to 8, there is a softball game on Tuesday evening. At a doubleheader at 6 and then at 7 o'clock, and so those playing softball will have to decide, do they want to play softball, or do they want to be at Vacation Bible School? They'll have to make that decision. I will be here. Also, the other thing that's significant is our sound system is up and running, and we're getting better at making it do the things that it's supposed to do. And so we're going to have a training for people that are interested in all the pretty lights that are back there, and doing the things that need to be done with making the sound work in the sanctuary. And if you are interested, on Thursday evening, June the 16th, we will have a training in the sound booth. And we'll walk through this. You'll get a chance to push the buttons and have a great time. We'll run some scenarios, and then we'll go from there. That'll be the official training evening, and then we have some ideas to kind of help people that are interested in it to kind of grow to the place where they will be able to run it on Sunday morning. And so keep that in mind. If that's something you're interested in, please be here for that training. If for some reason that slot doesn't work for you, let me know, and we'll coordinate and work something out for you as well. Okay, that's the announcements. The last announcement that I have, this past couple of days, we were gathering together as our denomination, our region, that is Ohio and Michigan, and come together to kind of, hey, what's going on in the world in which we live, and how are we doing with our impact? And I'm tickled pink to say that in our region and our churches, as we get together, our churches are really good at playing in the sandbox with each other. Now, I say that because oftentimes when you get a bunch of churches together, everybody competes to be who's the top dog, or who's got the best this, or who's got the best that. None of that is part of it. It's a coming together. It's a swapping of ideas. It's, what are you doing for Vacation Bible School? What are you doing to reach out to your community? And how can I scarf all your ideas and bring them back? As well as to kind of look to the future and say, who are we and where are we going? And it was just a great time to be together. Shirley Borman was with us yesterday, and Joanne Ellsworth, and it was just a great time together. Please feel free to pick our brains of the things that we learned. Don't pick Shirley's brain. Shirley's back there going, no, 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 no. Go get her. But it was a really good time to come together. We are in process of finding a new director for our region. Earl Mills is retiring the end of this year. And hopefully within the next month or two, if things go according to Arnie Kaufman's plan, we'll be able to make an announcement on who that might be. If God's plan is different from Arnie's plan, it may be a little longer. But we are making headway on that and going down that road as well. And so it's very exciting, the things that are happening in our denomination and even beyond in our mission fields across the world. Just some really cool things are happening, and won't go into detail, but you feel free to grab us, and we'll... Even Shirley said she would share a few things. That was just a great time to be together. Prayer request. Have a couple. Remember those folks that have lost loved ones. We've kind of gotten hit with several here recently, and so keep those families in your prayers. And then I'm going to ask that you pray for my mom. My mom, Mary Kaufman. You need to come up and use a microphone. The blue one, Steve.
Thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. she had some pain. She went back into the hospital, and they didn't know what was happening, did some tests, found a mass. It was 2x4 inches. It was rather large. Very greatly concerned. But the good news is that they did more testing and they found out it's just a pool of blood. So there is no real mass, we don't have to check for cancer or anything. So praise the Lord. Things are good. Arnie can breathe now.
Shake hands.
Good morning. Would you please stand and let's start our time of singing? We'll start with number 444, I Love to Tell the Story.
Story to be my theme in glory.
686, O God, our help in ages past. Seated.
You gonna read? I can read. I don't care. Our scripture for this morning is taken from the book of Psalms, the 78th chapter. We've been kind of walking in Psalms here for a few weeks. It's 78th chapter, the first 16 verses there. I was going to read the whole chapter, but as my secretary Amanda began to pull that together to put it in a bulletin, it was going to be 4.5 pages long. And so we decided that maybe it would be better to shrink it just a little bit. John, is there not scripture in there? Oh, good. So Psalms chapter 78, beginning with verse 1. A maskil of Asaph. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children. So the next direct generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. They would not put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, and they refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders that he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea, and he led them through. He made the water to stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with the light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of the rocky crag and made the water flow down like rivers. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. This time, if the kids want to come on down, Now, I have a big question for you. Does anyone know what I have in my hand?
Nothing.
That was supposed to be a stethoscope. Does it look like a stethoscope?
No.
What's a stethoscope look like? What?
A stethoscope is something long. And
it's long? Oh, that's a telescope. Yeah, telescopes are fine, and they're really cool, but do you know what a stethoscope is? Yeah.
It helps you to see objects closer.
Yes. It's a little thing. You put it in your ears, like a set of headphones from your to listen with, and then it has a little round thing on the end that you put on someone's chest so that you can hear their heart. Yeah? Did you just want to say something?
Go to the farm.
Yeah, sometimes. But a stethoscope is something where we listen to your heart. Have you ever had to go to the doctor and get a checkup? Yeah, and they put that cold stethoscope on you. Makes me give a shiver. And the doctor likes to listen to our hearts that he can make sure that it's beating okay and that we're healthy. There was a man, his name was David, and he was a king over all of Israel. And David had some heart problems, but not the kind that a doctor could listen to with a stethoscope. He had heart problems maybe like you and I have. Do you guys ever do things that are bad? Do you do things that your mom or dad doesn't want you to do? We won't tell them. Yeah, I know what that's like. And sometimes we make mistakes and bad things happen. Sometimes we make choices and bad things happen. David was a king who did some bad things. He had a heart problem because when we do bad things, it hurts us inside. And God says that he wants to fix that. He wants to repair that part of our lives, our hearts that are affected when bad things happen. So David wrote in a psalm, he wrote these words. In Psalms 51, verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." God was saying, or David was saying, God, I want you to come and clean up all the yucky stuff inside me that I might be the person that you want me to be. And you know what? God loves to do that if we'll ask him. So let's bow our heads And let's ask God to clean up our yucky stuff today. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would look at our hearts, and maybe there's things that aren't so good, things that are troubling, things where we've made bad choices. And Lord, we just need you to clean them up. We want to draw close to you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do like David said, to create in us a clean heart, put a right spirit within us, and draw us closer to you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can go. This time, we'll receive our offering this morning. If our ushers would please come forward. Well, let's bow for prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for all the things that you do. And Lord, we come with the attitude of gratitude within our hearts, because Lord, you've done so much, and now we have an opportunity to give back to you, and Lord, to give to you and to the furthering of your kingdom. And Lord, we're just so awed by your love and your power and the things that you do. And we're so thankful. And we just ask, Lord, that you would accept this offering, that your blessing would be upon each one gathered here. And Lord, assist us that we truly might bond together one with another to accomplish what you set before us, reaching out here in Worcester, Ohio, making a difference in the lives of people because of our relationship with you and your ability to touch and change hearts. Lord, continue to be with and walk with us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've been through loss, and I felt the bitter pain that comes from a cold goodbye. Shut myself off, and everything around me, with nothing left but a hole inside. There are days when all I do is ask God why. I've almost given up a couple of times, but he never gives up on me, and he holds every broken piece. There are days that I run, but I'm never out of reach, 'cause he never gives up. I turn my back, I've given him the coldest shoulder, I've said no over and over, but still he welcomes me with arms spread open wide, with a love I can't deny is real. But he never gives up on me, and he holds every broken piece. There are days that I run, but he's never out of reach, 'cause he never gives up on me. He is good time, and all the time. and he holds every broken piece. There are days that I run, but I'm never out of reach, 'cause he never gives up on me. No, he never gives up.
Things happen. And this morning, yeah, that was just really cool about my mom. So I just want to take a couple minutes and just pray. We also want to pray for John Lee's aunt, Barb Elkins. She's back in ICU, struggling with some cancer, and so keep her in your prayers. And then also John's dad's best friend, his name's Bob White, went on to be with the Lord. And so just want to pray for those things before we get started this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. And why, in the midst of life, you reach down and make a difference. Sometimes it just blows me away. It's just so cool. Why my mom and why others are struggling, God, I may never understand that, but just thanks. But with that same childlike faith, I come before you this morning just saying, be with John's aunt. I don't know the whole story, but I know this. Without direct intervention, Lord, I know what the future holds, and I just ask you to hold this family and Barb in your hands. Lord, I know many of us have lost loved ones. It's been a pretty tough year. And Lord, we just ask that you would assist us to be able to grieve. You've said we're blessed when we grieve. And not that it's good that bad things happen, but because we're able to grieve, it gives us the opportunity to walk through that struggle. And you've promised to be there to comfort us. And you build us up. And you give us hope in the midst of the struggle. And Lord, we just ask that for all our families that are struggling. And Lord, we're kind of here today and we're just so blessed with all the kids, and just touches my heart. And I just thank you for the kids and for Vacation Bible School and what you've got in store, and for all of those that are willing to come together to give of their time so that these kids can hear the stories, that they can have the opportunity to jump up and down, to see the joy that comes from knowing you. That's just so cool. So cool, God. But Lord, you've also laid on my heart this morning that we really need to continue being there for our kids, and one of the ways we do that, Lord, is to live life. And so, Lord, just kind of teach us some things today. Give us some handles to hold on to, that our kids would see the difference that you've made, and Lord, that they would see that reflected in our lives and just be drawn to you. So just kind of come and use us all this morning. Draw us closer to you. And Lord, we give you thanks. Hear the prayers of our hearts. Be with us this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to try really hard to stay with my notes, because if I don't, sometimes when things are really on your heart, you have a tendency to be long-winded. So you want me to stay with my notes. and I think, too, that it's important for us to kind of understand some things and kind of be able to pull them in. And Psalms 78, there's some background to really make it jump out at us today. And so I want to kind of walk through a little bit of the backdrop, because it tells us, in essence, that we're to be teaching our children and it to kind of get the whole story. The person, as much as we can tell, that wrote this, Asaph, was an individual that, when he was a young man, one of his jobs was he played cymbals in the band. Now, playing cymbals in the band is probably not scripture worthy, but he played in a really special band. Asaph played in the band that surrounded the Ark of the Covenant when the Ark of the Covenant was taken to Jerusalem so that it would be the center, the capital of Israel, both on a political side with David as the king, but also on a religious side so that they could build the temple. And so they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Israel, and Asaph played cymbals in the band. Okay? Now, Asaph, as he's playing cymbals in the band, and as he's living his life, he's realizing something. He's looking at the history of Israel, and he goes, we're not really good about getting it and passing it on. And that's really important. It's really important for our kids to understand who God is. And so he writes this psalm in order to kind of develop this dynamic in his own family so that when his children's 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 children, 500 years would pass, and that they would still be, I don't know, playing cymbals or something like that in the band, celebrating to God. And so he wrote this in order to help that to happen within his own family. Now, because we have Scripture, there's really cool things in Scripture. And when we look at Scripture, and you look to Nehemiah, and you can look at the 7th chapter, and I'm not going to quote it specifically, I'm going to kind of just paint the picture. We have 500 years has passed since Asaph played cymbals in the band. And they're doing a little bit of a rendering as the people of Israel are coming back. They were in Babylonian captivity. They're coming back and reestablishing Israel once again. And as they're counting, there are 148 descendants of Asaph in the choir that's singing before the Ark of the Covenant and reestablishing Israel as Jerusalem as the capital, both from a political and a religious sense. Now, 500 years. Now, in 500 years, I want 148 of my kin preaching here. Okay, I'm not sure that would work. But conceptually, that's what we all want. We want to pass on to our children this saving faith that when we cross those doorways through death to life eternal, that there's a party there, and there are many that are gathered that, woohoo! I mean, I wanna go woohoo a lot. I wanna be excited to be able to say, here's another person. I don't know if I'll remember things that are going on, but I want people to get there and go, oh, yes, I know that guy. Not because I'm popular, but because I was willing to invest not only in others, but in kids. There's something about kids. And when they get it, when the lights click on, it's the coolest. It really is. He writes the 78th Psalm so that we can do just that. So that our children's 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 would still be active in the ministry that God's calling them to. So that's the setting for what I want to talk about today. Taking our faith to the next generation. And in essence, what I want to talk about first is our next generation obligation is to pass on our faith. In order to do that, we need to pass on the things that God has done. Right there in verse 4, it says, "We will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders that He's done." People need to know that God's doing things, that God's at work. Here's the things that He did. Yeah, it's a little tough to say, you know, here's the stories from the Old Testament. I mean, but they're really cool. I mean, you take a child to the to SeaWorld or something like that, and there's a big old killer whale or something like that jumping, and you can say, yeah, it was a whale of some sort. They get the concept of a big animal that Jonah was in. I mean, like, the story tells itself. And God's saying we need to be willing to do just that, to say, yeah, I believe that. Are we willing to tell our kids that we really do believe that? Because they really need to hear about it. See, this world we live in is weird. And we do some really goofy things. Now, that's just my perspective, but one of the things that I've been around parents and I say, well, you know, I want my kids to be able to choose for themselves whether they're going to worship God, so I'm not going to take them to Sunday school and church. And I'm like, that might be the stupidest thing you've ever done. I mean, I don't want to force my religion on my children. Well, I can understand that, but really? So, like, when you fix meals for supper, do your kids go, I want chocolate, and you just give it to them? Well, why would you do that? I don't know, because you don't want to tell them what's good for them and what's not good for them. You don't want to be pushing, you know, your perspective on what food is healthy on them. So your kids eat ice cream for breakfast, and oh man, I'd just love that as a kid. Probably died young too. I mean, we come up with some of the dumbest things. Why do we do that? I'll tell you why we do it. Because we don't believe what we say we believe. We come to church to make mom happy or grandma or grandpa or dad. Sometimes it's dad. But we really haven't taken it to ourselves. And let me tell you a secret. You can't pass on to the next generation something you ain't got. It will not happen. You have to let God change who you are that they would see the difference that's being made. Anybody watch the little video that I put on Facebook? I mean, I put those out there. And okay, there's 3, 4. Okay, yeah, we'll have to work on that. But it was a little video, this little kid's peeking around the corners at his dad, and his dad's praying at the bed, and he kneels down beside him, and the next thing you know, he folds his hands, and then he's got to get down on his knees like his dad, and he's doing this, and he's doing, is the little kid praying? No. But he's seeing what his dad does, and he mimics that. And kids do that a lot. I loved when I was going to camp and being there for a week, because even with 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, by the end of the week, you would see them. They would click with somebody, maybe someone in their cabin, and they would try and walk like them. They would try and use the same words as they use. They would begin to mimic because they wanted to be like, I want to be a cabin counselor. I want to be whatever it happens to be. And they mimic. It is so cool. And we want that same from our children. Asaph decided to teach his children that his children would know and teach his children and to their children, 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 and on it goes. Are we willing to pass on our faith? If we're going to have a next generation obligation, we need to teach God's deeds to our children so that they would put their confidence in Him. We will all put our confidence in something. Verse 8 says, they would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. I mean, when you really think about this, the Israelites were so dense. They didn't get it. I mean, there they were. They walked out of, they had the 10 plagues and all of that was going on. God takes them through that, and He takes them out, and they go across the desert. They get to the Red Sea. They're all blocked in, and then God miraculously opens up the Red Sea. They get across. I don't care where you put the Red Sea crossing. It's still cool because God opened it up for the Israelites to go through, and then He killed the entire Egyptian army afterwards with what was left. I mean, what a neat thing. Couldn't you imagine seeing that with your own eyes going, wow. I'll say it backwards. Wow. I mean, and they got to see all this, and they finally got to the promised land, and they said, hey, those folks are big. We can't do this. Really? And they walked away, and a generation died in the wilderness before God would take them in. You see, it's not enough to see what God is doing. It's not enough to be told what God is doing. They need to see us believing and walking and acting out on that faith. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to show them who to put their confidence in? Who is it that will give them the support that they need when all else fails? Are we willing to show that to our kids? Because here's the thing, if we don't teach God's deeds, our tribe will crumble. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit now. This is going to take, we got to walk a little circle, a little bit of history to get to my point. Now, we have the 12 tribes of Israel. We've all heard of the 12 tribes. And they were the Israelites, and they were led off into the wilderness and did all the miracles, and eventually they conquer the promised land and all of that. And when they go to give out the land allotments for the 12 tribes, okay, noticed something. I noticed that the tribe of Levi didn't get anything. Well, they got a little wee spot. Now, the tribe of Levi, the reason they got just a little spot was because they didn't have to farm the land. Their income came from being priests at the temple. And so through sacrifices and various things, that's where they got their income from. So they didn't have to till the ground and have a vegetable patch and sell items alongside the road or whatever it happened to be. They didn't have to do that. So they got a smaller portion of land because they just needed a place to put a house, you know, and keep things happy, you know, enough room for the dog to run around in the yard and away we go. Then there was also the tribe of Joseph. Now, Joseph was a pretty important individual. And Joseph was the tribe that Joseph got it right. He was sold into slavery, and he became second only to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. He was the reason that the Israelites survived the big famine, and they came to Israel, that God would eventually lead them out. So the tribe of Joseph really was big because of God's blessing, because Joseph was doing the right things. Okay, so he had two kids. Ephraim and Manasseh. So you see Ephraim and Manasseh as two different tribes to make up the 12 tribes. I thought, well, that's cool. They got it right. God's blessing was on them. They understand the stories. So I go, okay, so if all of this blessing for ancestry is on Joseph and his sons, and they get a double portion of property because they're huge going on, then I would think that all the big names would flow from that family, right? I mean, because isn't that how God works? And so I began to check in the ancestry of Manasseh and Ephraim. And you know what I find out? When they go to fight to take over the promised land, the nation of Ephraim, or the tribe of Ephraim, run amok. In verse 9, it said, they shrunk back on the day of battle. They didn't believe God would fight for them, so they acted in fear, not in faith. Then they turned back on the day of battle. Oh, I mean, they get three things wrong. The first was they shrunk back on the day of battle. Why? I mean, God's blessing's been on their family. They're the biggest tribe. They get a double portion. Everything's cool. They've got their bows, their spears, I don't know, rocks, whatever they took into battle. And they went up there, and it's like, how can they lose? God's on our side. Woohoo! Let's charge. And they went, goodbye. Yeah. And I was like, why? Why would they do that? I mean, that's just not normal. That's just not normal for an entire tribe to turn tail and run. This doesn't happen. So why did it happen? Well, they didn't live morally. Verse 10, they refused to live by the law. It's not that they didn't know what they were supposed to be doing. They chose to do otherwise. And thirdly, they forgot what God had done. All the miracles, all the stuff, and they just walked away. Now, we jump up and down, and pastors get real excited at that point because they want you to see that, you know, here's a tribe that God's blessing was upon, and they're doing dumb things. And we do all of that because we want to follow it up with this. And it's just simply, are we the same? You know, do we know better and still make the wrong choices? And if we're going to tell our kids this is what we believe, are we going to really live it out and so that they can see it happen in daily life? Are we willing to do the right thing because it's the right thing and follow what God has written even when it's inconvenient? Will we? They forgot all the wonders that God has done, because even when they were not faithful, God remained faithful. Even when things were going bad, God was still there. And I didn't write that down in my book. Okay. Even when they weren't faithful, God remained faithful. God was there. And even though this tribe turned and left, Israel still won. Even though this portion of people walked away, God was still faithful. God continued to reach out to them. God continued to be God. God didn't change even when they did. And the same in our hearts and in our lives. God doesn't change. He's still there. He's just waiting for us to come back. And we can come back if we're willing to do just that. And the next generation, they see how you live. They walk with us on a daily basis and go, I want that. I love my kids, and Luke is with us today. And I want what's best for my kids. And I'll do most anything. I'll try really hard. I'll go without if I need to because I love my kids. That's just what you do. But I want my kids to see that God's made a difference. I want them to know that I really believe all the stuff that he wrote in the Bible. All of it. Even when it's inconvenient. Now, a lot of you know my father-in-law moved in with us. And I love my father-in-law. I love my father-in-law because he's my wife's dad. And I dearly love my wife. Now, we're trying to figure out how this works. And it's not easy. It's not. But I want my kids to see that I'm going to do what's right even when it's not easy. I want my kids to see that even though my father-in-law sometimes can be a handful, that my love's not dependent on his behavior. And he's my wife's dad, and there's just a period there. Now, if you're close to me, you may hear me whine from time to time. But I'll always love them. Are we willing to toe the line even when it's inconvenient, even when it's difficult? I want my kids to see the truth. I want them to see me reflecting what God says even when it's inconvenient. It's so important for us to show the next generation that God's word is true and that he walks with us each and every day. You see, we need to learn how to pass on our faith to future generations. Someday I'm going to have grandkids. Maybe. But whether I do or not, I'll always love kids. They're just the coolest. They're so innocent. They so keep you up at night and drive you nuts. They're wonderful. But if we're going to teach them, I have three things that I think we need to do that come from these scriptures. We really need to make sure we teach them what God has done. Yeah, those great stories in the Bible, by all means. But we also need to teach them the time that we got on our face before God. And we prayed, and God said yes. They also need to know about those times when we got on our face before God and God said no. They need to know those times. They need to be able to understand that God's not a God that we have on a string that we can tug and get what we want. But God's a God that loves us intensely. And if we're willing to be connected, whether he says yes or no is a side benefit. What's most important is our connection to God and allowing him the privilege of when to say yes and when to say no. We need to teach them what God has done. We need to teach them that God doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he's done in the past, he'll do in the future. And we, in our modern society, will go to extreme lengths to say that a mass in the body of your mom that they see one day is just a pool of blood another. And that's okay. And if you want to think that that's true, knock yourself out. But I don't know about you, but for me, God said, it's not your time. And God turned the mass into a pool of blood. Why did he do that for my mom? I don't know. I'm just tickled. I really am. I don't know what that means, but today there's much joy in my heart. Because that looks to me like something that God would do, and he did. What tomorrow brings, what decisions will be made, I don't know. But even if God would have said no, okay, I know who holds the future, and I'll let God be God, because I know he doesn't change and I can trust him. And life is for a time. And when the time's up, we walk through that doorway to life eternal, and it's always that way, and it doesn't change. Someday, my mom, someday, myself will walk through that door. I don't like the thought of dying, but being dead's kind of cool. And I mean it just that way. I'm not thrilled about dying. I don't know what that holds. That's kind of scary for me. I don't like pain and all of that stuff and a little trepidation going on, to just be honest. But when I'm dead, I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm cool with that. That I can work with. That I know. That is not going to change. I can stand on that ground. If we're going to pass on our faith to future generations, we need to tell them and teach them what God has done for our family. To share the stories of the times when God came through. Of when God said no. Of when God was God and we are not, and cool things happen and cool things don't. Those times when for no reason at all, as you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you hit an ice patch and you're going down the road backwards and a semi truck is on the other side of the double yellow line as you're going backwards at 55 mile an hour, and he goes whoosh right past you, and the whoosh spins your car back around and on down the road you go, and you go, ooh, that was fun. To teach your children when you've prayed for someone with all your heart, you've laid it on the line, you've entered into the Holy of Holies, you've crawled up on the lap of God, you've told him, you've whispered in his ear, you've said, God, I need you to make a difference. And God said, I need you to make a bigger difference. So the answer is no. And you say, but God, I don't think you heard me correctly. And you let him know again, and he says, yeah, I know, but I have something bigger. And so the answer is no. And you say, but God, and you go back and forth, you have an argument. And finally you get to the place where you're like, okay. And you get up off your knees, and you walk forward knowing that God said no, but he's got something bigger, and I don't know what that something bigger is. But we're going to walk down this road and see. To share about those times when God came close and said yes. Those times when he turns masses into blood clots. Those times when there's not a good explanation and you just stand there and smile and say, but I know a God that's bigger. I have thousands of stories. Ask my kids. The things that God has done. We need to teach them to the next generation, because I, for one, I know the statistics when it comes to pastors' kids. The statistic is a lot worse for me than it is for you. But I want my kids and my kids' kids and my kids' kids' kids and my kids' 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 kids, and on down the line it goes, to know the God that called them into existence. I want to be 500 years from now, I want to be 150 kids strong singing in the choir. I want to be 150 people strong making a difference in this world on account of Jesus Christ. I want to be 150 strong on the day that God says, we're done. Come home. And we all get to go home. Will you pass your faith to the next generation? Lori says she's got some slots left. No, I'm just, that's intimidation. I'm not doing that. But I really think, and I really believe that God has given us a tremendous opportunity with a generation of children. We need to lead. We need to be dedicated to the God that loves us so that they would see the difference that God has made and be drawn to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I think like Asaph. And I truly just, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool as each year passes that there are more servants of you on this earth because we as leaders, we as parents have made a difference in kids' lives and they've seen that difference. They're just drawn to you and we want that to happen. And Lord, I just want to pray for our parents. I remember some of those days. I remember those days when everything was good and that was so awesome. But I remember those days when that wasn't the case. When things went wrong in life and then the kids were just servants of evil, or it seemed that way. And I want, Lord, I want you to come and inhabit their hearts and fill them up to overflowing to the point that when the bad days come, they'll have much riches to draw from. I'd love to be able to say, well, make their kids always behave, but it doesn't work that way. I'd love to say that their children will always make the right choices and never be disobedient, but you know, it just doesn't work that way. But God, I do know this, build up within each parent a lavish supply of your love and of your joy that even when their children run amok, that they'll be able to pull from that supply. And that the children would be able to see the love in their hearts even as the discipline is handed down. Because we need that. We need parents that are willing to step into the gap and say, look, this is right and this is wrong and here's why. And God's word says this and I know it's hard, but we gotta work here. And help us as a body of believers to undergird parents and come alongside them and help them to make those tough choices. We live in a world that's running amok and some of the things that I see coming our way and some of the decisions we're going to have to make, I'm a little confused, God. I need your help. So just come and work with us and bond us together, Lord, so that we can figure this out. Because we want our children's 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 to know you. Not to just know about you. To know you. So draw close to our moms and to our dads, to our grandmas and our grandpas, to our aunts, to our uncles, to our friends, to our neighbors, that our kids might see the difference that you've made. Walk with us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
invite you to stand and join us in our closing hymn, number 692, God Will Take Care of You.
God will take care of you, he promised. We have his word to stand on. We don't always get what we want. He's not a sugar daddy, but he does love us intently. And with that, he gives us hope that we can walk out into the world to be used by him to make a difference, that others would see him. Amen.